Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, it's the top of hour two. Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WRD, PGM Boat Girl.
We still here.
Yeah, I can't believe you're still wearing your Halloween outfit after 2 days.
What Halloween outfit?
Well, you're dressed like a mermaid. Oh, wait.
But I like being a mermaid.
So,
y'all, my husband ain't got a lick of sense.
If you can imagine a mermaid in the kitchen, right?
Yeah, I'm cooking.
She cooking.
Because I'm hungry.
Because she hungry. Big girl hungry.
I am hungry.
She's not a big girl, but she's like a big girl.
That's true. It's a true statement.
Yeah. So, now is, speaking of I'm hungry and cooking, it's time for the Roadkill Cafe.
So, today, since it's kind of been chilly weather this week, we're doing taco chili. Now, we ate chili this week, but it wasn't a taco kind. So, next week, we'll do the taco chili.
Okay.
Believe it or not, this recipe came from one of them little cards that you get at the grocery store at the Publix.
Oh.
You know, the little cards are at the end of the aisles, you know,
yeah,
what to cook tonight? This,
yeah,
is, this came off of one of those little cards at the Publix. When you don't know what to do, just grab one of those cards. Obviously, we're not using ground beef. We're using 1.5 pounds of ground venison, 1 packet of taco seasoning mix, 2 cans of diced tomatoes with chilies, which is like Rotel. Don't drain those. One can of chili beans in sauce. Don't drain that either. 1 can of red kidney beans. Don't drain those. And then 1 can of southwestern corn with peppers. Drain the corn. Don't use the corn juice. Corn juice is kind of yucky.
No, I don't like corn juice.
Here's the kicker. 1 can of hominy drained. Chickpeas. Drain those too.
Okay.
And then 1 can of mild enchilada sauce. So preheat large non-stick saute pan on medium high. Place your venison in the pan. Brown 5 to 7 minutes. Stirring, chunking it up. And then stir in the taco seasoning with the meat. Let that cook for a few minutes.
Okay.
And then everything else, you throw it in the crock pot about 4 hours, let her go. And then when it's done, 4 hours later,
yeah,
okay, on high, not on low. If it was on low, I think it'd have to cook longer than 4 hours.
You know, crock pots
are awesome.
They vary somewhat. I mean, I've the last week when I made just chili,
yeah,
I started out on hot, and it got too hot. I think it's an old crock pot.
Yeah, it's a giant one,
if
too.
If you look around the edge, and that might have had something to do with it. If you look around the edge and it's bubbling, if it's boiling around the edge, cut it back because you don't want it to boil for a long period of time.
I would think it's 3 to 4 hours on high. So on low, I would say 6 to 8. It's probably something you could, you know, if you've got a crock pot with a timer, time it to come on while you're at work.
Yeah.
Or is that a good idea to leave a crock pot unsupervised?
I
mean, we do it, but I don't think I'll tell all of upstate South Carolina to leave something plugged
in. You don't want the product liability
of
recommending that. Yeah,
I don't want product liability behind somebody's crock pot catching
on fire. Yeah, don't do that.
So the taco chili is really good if you throw, when it's done,
yeah,
tortilla chips,
yeah,
cheese, sour cream. I'll throw it on top. It is delicious.
Yeah. On the salad.
On the soup.
On the chili.
On the taco chili. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just throw the tortilla chips in it and the cheese and throw some sour cream on top of it.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me look at this again. What the base of this? This is just chili.
Yeah, but it's taco chili. So you're using the Rotel.
Taco chili, yeah.
And then you're using the southwestern corn, and then you're throwing in hominy with the beans, chickpeas.
Okay.
Give it a little southwestern. And you're using the taco seasoning instead of, you know, chili powder.
And if you pour this over a base of chips, then it's taco chili nachos.
So then leftover, you throw some lettuce on top of that. Call it a taco salad.
No, you pour it over a bed of lettuce, and it's taco chili salad.
Yeah. Hey, leftovers are our friend.
Yeah. Sometimes I just make it straight out like that, but, you know.
Yeah.
Chili's
so
great.
We're going to make the taco chili this week. In fact, I think this would be a good one for us to take in the crock pot down to the hunting club tomorrow.
You think?
Yeah. We had shrimp last week on Sunday evening.
That's right. Made shrimp.
We cooked down at the hunting club.
Made shrimp.
Yeah. This week it's crock pot because it's cooler this week.
Okay.
So I'm going to make that this evening, or, you know, I'll get the stuff this evening to make it tomorrow. We'll let y'all know how it turns out.
Yeah. Don't use that pan that I bathed out of, though.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, why don't you tell that story, PG?
Well, I mean, because
if I tell it, it's going to be, like, horrible.
Okay. Okay, so, like, Boat Girl's got to work on Friday, and I do my thing. That's where I go down on Friday, and I've kind of...
He wants to be one up on me and have another hunt or two in because I'm working.
I've kind of rigged up a way to bathe down
there. A shower.
A shower using a pump, using an electric... Because I don't have water. Don't have water at the camp, but I do have power.
Yes.
And so I'll take water, and I'll heat it up in a...
In a turkey fryer.
In a clean, never been used for anything else.
You know, a big fryer
turkey
pot.
Turkey fryer.
With a gas burner.
And with a gas burner, and then I have a steel... I've got an electric pump with the lead that's off of it. It's
yes.
steel, so it's not going to melt or anything like that. And I drop that down in the pot. And then I actually have
a hot shower,
a GFI, and I can, yeah.
Yes, but.
But the burner messed up, so I didn't have any way.
Because those things don't last forever.
Well, yeah, it messed up. So I was down there, and it, like I said, you know, last week is hot one day, cold one day, and it's like, God, you know, I think I'd walked like 3/4 of a mile to a stand.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to take a bath or so. So I put one of those big aluminum pans on the grill
and heated up water.
Heated up
to
water.
Kind of wash off.
And took a horse bath out of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, when we go down there and cook shrimp,
yeah.
PG, when the shrimp is done, which I brought a pot from home
yeah.
to cook to boil the shrimp, he takes this big aluminum pan when the shrimp are done, and he dumps the shrimp in there, and we sit down at the table, and everything looks great, smells great, you know, Old Bay, and we're singing Jimmy Buffett songs
because yeah.
shrimp's beginning to boil. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, is that the pan that you bathed out of?
And I was like.
He said it wasn't.
I was like, well,
I think it was.
I cleaned it. I wiped it out. I mean, it wasn't like I got in it. I was just, you know, kind of dipping out of it.
Oh, gosh. There's never a dull moment in our house.
And I had to poke. All I did was I used it for a colander. I just poked holes in it, and then I dumped the pot of boiling
yes,
shrimp
it was
water
boiling when
on
it went
top
in.
Of it.
You nasty.
it just
added. But I ate it.
Huh?
I ate it. I was hungry. I ate the shrimp. And
you
they were
delicious. You know what the secret of that is?
What?
Don't tell your wife until after she's done eating that you bathed out
whatever
of the pot
you did
that you served
with
the food in.
Silverware,
yeah,
the pots and pans. Just don't say
yeah.
anything. It's probably the best.
But it was good, right?
It was. It was. It was nice to not eat at the drive-thru. Man, Sunday nights, it's like, I don't want to eat at the drive-thru.
Of course, now the time's going to change. So
yeah. I still don't want to eat at the drive-thru. I'm still making the taco chili.
Okay. Well, you know, that's a big thing. Hopefully we'll have to eat late still because we'll be like, okay, gotta wait 45 minutes,
gotta
drag one, gotta go see Hammer, gotta go, yeah, yeah.
I'm hoping that this weekend, that tomorrow is the day.
Yeah.
And I don't really have a name for the one that I've been looking at yet, but I can guarantee you that if he falls to the ground, I'll name him real quick.
What you going to put on the packages like you said you was going to do?
He's going to have to have a name.
Okay. All right. Well, in the meantime, while Boat Girl's thinking up a name for the deer she hadn't killed yet, we're going to get to a break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about a name that you made. Start knowing in the future is called the National Professional Fishing League.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, as promised, and look, folks, I'm learning about this pretty much at the same time you are. If you are a bass fisherman and are interested in and this is a professional league,
yes,
that has started up. And it's kind of funny. I mean, and I'm always that guy who's like, wonder what precipitated this, you know, somebody deciding that you got to do this. Because, I mean, you just had MLF emerge.
Right,
you know,
last year.
The anglers created, this year. Mm-hmm. And then you had, well, of course, you've always had bass. Bass,
yes,
is alone for a long, long period of time. And then at some point later, FLW came out.
Yep.
As a professional. And so it was bass and FLW, and then the Bass Pro Tour, the MLF, Major League Fishing, came out, like you said, last year.
Yeah.
And things got crowded, and it really seemed like the field of professional anglers was very diluted.
Sort of, yeah.
But, I mean, more spots for people to fish. And then saw this on social media that the National Professional Fishing League is emerging. Let's see. I saw there. Where was it?
So what it is it's a league that, and this is to my understanding what I've read about it this week, you're sending your resume to the league.
Yeah.
And they're accepting 125 anglers.
Right.
To be in the league. So it doesn't matter if you've been on
There's no qualification requirements.
If you've won this, if you've won that. They are accepting resumes. I guess you write it like a job interview. I don't know.
They've got an online. Applications will be accepted by email only. Please send your resume to EliteAngler@gmail.com or Brad Fuller at OmegaCustomTackle.com. This is, we will select the best 125 anglers to give us the strongest possible field.
Right.
So it kind of sounds like they're doing kind of a grassroots. They did do a press release that came out, and these folks were on Ike Live. They were on Ike Live,
week.
So it's not. I mean, that gives
it's not it, like just some
gives a little credibility here, and they were on Wire. You know, it was the news release was posted on Wired to Fish, and so I mean, it's not backroom stuff. I mean,
right.
This is the real deal. National Professional Fishing League Ownership Group is proud to announce the launch of a new angler-centric tour in March of 2021. So it's not going to start next
year. Right,
so
they got a year and several months to get it all planned out and get everything going.
It's called the National Professional Fishing League. Somebody ought to think about that name again. Our focus is to, or doubt it, I mean, they need to call it the NPFL. I'd go with NPFL before I would call it the National Professional Fishing League.
Yeah,
but anyway, they didn't ask me.
Yeah, they did.
The full field will compete on all 3 days. One in three anglers will get paid. They're all going to fish on one lake with 125 anglers, 3 days of fishing, the heaviest combined three-day weight wins. So they're sticking with the bass format.
Yes.
None of this.
Five
well, the bass, the bass in FLW.
Right.
It's like we're going to fish in one place. Everybody's going to fish at the same time. I wonder if they're going to pare the field down on the last day.
I think it said that all anglers fished all 3 days.
Let's see. The full field will compete on all 3 days. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. So they don't.
You're going fishing.
They don't pare it down if you're after day two .
Yeah, they're not taking the top.
Make the bubble
12.
Yeah.
Or whatnot on
okay.
Day three.
No. Let's see. 125 angler field with a 2-year contract includes an option for a third year. 6 qualifying tournaments, 2 spring, 2 summer, and 2 fall, $5,000 entry fee per event. There's no entry fee for the National PFL Championship. There we go. We're starting to put an acronym in here. It sounds better. They're going to live stream all 3 days of their tournaments on the water, live in-studio commentator and live weigh-ins. It's trailered weigh-ins, so you can pull your rig up and show all your sponsors off. Angler committee comprised of active anglers will liaison directly with the ownership group and the tournament director. This ensures the angler always has a seat at the table. You know, and I'm not saying anything bad because I don't know, but it seemed like there's a lot of backlash from the anglers about the way Bass ran their shop for a lot of years.
It seems like it. I don't know what that is. Obviously, I've never been on that side of the fence, but
I've heard them talk about, well, you know, the entry fees, you know, paying $50,000 to fish a, obviously, you know, you pay a $50,000 to fish a tournament trail, you know, for an entire year is a major commitment and with no guarantee of any payback. I know that. I mean, that's just common sense. That's a tough thing.
Right.
But, I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of stuff that you don't get in.
And I know. I mean, I know MLF has been focused on being angler friendly.
Yeah,
you know about how it's better for the anglers.
And as much as they say they're fan friendly, I kind of disagree with that.
Haven't gotten used to it.
They are certainly not media friendly. Not outside media friendly. They are. They gonna do it all themselves, and we're gonna provide all the media and all that. And as a member of that media, that kind of cheeses me.
I'm going to sound like an old lady when I say this, but I'm going to miss the days of the hoopla and the fanfare and the big, huge deal of stuff like the Bassmaster Classic or the FLW Cup. It's that Sunday, championship Sunday, is like a huge deal for the spectators, myself included. I mean, we've been lucky enough to have Bassmaster here, the classic here, and it is a big deal. And it's just like, I don't know the evolution of the sport with, hey, we're going to live stream this and live stream that, and you watch it on your phone instead of in person. I just hope that the fanfare of the sport doesn't die.
Yeah. Well, you know? And that is a real possibility with diluting it with, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or however many they are. Although these folks do, for the anglers, they're promising pretty decent payouts the first year. $50,000 first place. Fifth place will be $14,000. I'm sorry, I'm reading this out of order. $30,000 for second, $20,000 for third, $15,000 for fourth.
I mean, it's a big money trail for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and they're hoping to go larger, where there would be $100,000 to each qualifying event winner. So
yeah, which is going to be right up there with the big boys.
Well, we shall see. Stay tuned. We'll bring you more information as we get it. In the meantime, we're going to go to our break, and we're going to come back, bring you our interview with our buddy Chip Hamilton. Got to ring him up. Bet he's cutting some deer up.
I bet he is. He's busy. Y'all stay with us right here at 106.3 WORD. PG will answer his phone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, as promised, our next guest on Upstate Outdoors is no stranger to the show. We've got Chip Hamilton from Hamilton's, if it's outdoors, I do it.com.
Mr. Outdoors, for real.
Chip, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
And I did you a disservice there. Chip is a premier fishing guide on Lake Hartwell. He also is a award-winning taxidermist and is also a great deer processor over in – is it Piedmont, Powdersville?
Yeah, that area, Easley. Easley and Powdersville.
Okay. Over in that area. So, like I said, if it's outdoors, Chip's probably doing it.
Yeah. This guy's living the dream.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, Chip, number one, and we were trying to get somebody on the show last week to talk about all the deer processors being backed up. And he's like, man, I can't talk on the radio. I'm backed up. I got deer. I got to talk about it. So have you guys over at your place and some of your neighbors, some of the other processors that you kind of work with, is everybody kind of caught up now?
Yeah, the rain helped a lot this week. We were able to close a few days prior to the rain to catch up, then the rain just extended that. So everybody's pretty well rolling again now after about a week of what we're going to do chaos.
Yeah. And that, I actually did a little bit of research into that, and I don't think a lot of people realized it, and I don't know if you did or not, but a lot of this kind of goes back to the deer tag program that was instituted.
Yes. With the two deer tags that were used anytime for free, that put more people in the woods trying to spend their doe tags, but it also cost a lot of bucks their lives too, because if you're in the woods with a gun hunting a doe, you probably ain't going to turn a buck down if it's something you want to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Either way, the deer killing ratio was way high for about a week and a half, and that's why all this happened.
And, you know, I got in a situation, and I was looking at social media, and I saw a guy was like, I had opportunity to kill these two does today, and I had it on social media. And I almost, sent him a message, said,
look, man, and then remembered
it. I was like, you probably don't want to do that because DNR is going to come visit. And then I looked at the tags, and it used to be that you could only kill one doe a day.
Now they're any times.
And now they're back to two a day.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that actually started last year. There was 2 years in a row that you could only take one doe. And some people didn't realize that. A lot of people, bless their heart, they don't educate themselves, and they end up getting educated by a game warden.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so I actually called Charles Ruth and talked about it. And I asked him, I said, why did y'all go back to that? I said, the deer processors and Game Zone 2, they're all shut down. And I said, I hate a situation where somebody who's not going to process their own deer has a deer, because then a lot of bad things can happen.
Yeah. And that's why I was one of the last ones to shut down. I talked to seven other processors that shut down, and they were sending me some of their overflow, and I took it for a while because I got a very large cooler. I can hold over 200 deer, and we maxed it out finally this past weekend and had to shut down for a few days.
Yeah.
And that brings up a good question. A lot of folks don't understand what goes into processing a deer. I mean, other than not sleeping for about 4 months. Most people are like me. When they bring a deer in, it's got a hole in it. Sometimes two or three, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, when we take one in, one thing that fills us up pretty fast is I have to hold deer to cover two Saturdays because we let them hang a minimum of 8 days. So everything killed on one particular Saturday, those particular deer are still hanging in my cooler with the hide on them the next Saturday, and we skin those out Monday and usually cut them on Tuesday. So that's one reason why my cooler gets pretty full, even before this bottleneck happened.
And that's another thing, you were talking about, a Saturday here and a Saturday there, and you guys used to kind of do your business based on Saturday hunting, but with these tags, these doe tags, and they're not doe day tags, they're anytime doe tags, a lot of folks who were, can get away, especially, they watch the weather, hey, I'm going to slip out in the woods. A lot of folks are killing deer all through the week.
Yes.
Yes, and that's a good point because the week, rifle season opened up on a Friday, the 11th. That following Monday, Monday through Thursday, those 4 weekdays that are typically morning and evening combined, we'll take in a dozen, maybe 15. We set records. I've been doing this 18 years for the public.
Mm-hmm.
We set records all 4 days. We took in between 30 and 45 deer every day, Monday through Thursday, the following week. And that was like a Saturday, 4 days in a row. And that's not even counting the Friday and Saturday the next weekend.
Wow.
And I don't think, I don't know about records, but I don't think you were the only one who had that experience with, you know, customers coming in with deer, because the weather turned off cool and it was perfect hunting weather. Been hot and everybody been waiting. And then
gun season
came. It's gun season. And, of course, we, you know, they allow baiting. You know, now that's of course, that's been around for a while. And it, I guess, kind of a perfect storm.
Yeah, that's true. I spoke with another processor, Shane Cowler. We kind of worked together all we could to stay open as long as we could. And that's what he was saying. He said, I mean, every day is like a Saturday. They just keep coming.
And looking at that, Chip, do you think, is that, what do you anticipate like for next year? Is that something that you're going to be able to make accommodations for? Or is this something that as hunters we need to kind of group together and talk to a couple of legislators and say, hey, how about, you know, maybe helping us out with passing some laws about the number of deer that can be killed in a day?
Well, it's kind of a mystery because last year the kill was way up after a decline for so many years, and we thought it was kind of a fluke, you know. Well, everybody's having a good year. Acorns were kind of – I mean, there were a good many acorn trees hit, but overall in the upstate, the acorn crop seemed to be down, which made them hit
yes.
corn more. So we figured last year was kind of a fluke. This year be back to normal. This year is worse than last year. And it's not like we just had, you know, last year all of a sudden every doe had three fawns, because we're getting a lot of 2-, 3-, 4-year-old bucks, 2-, 3-, 4-year-old does. So it's not, I mean, it's kind of a mystery how this herd just all of a sudden got so healthy that, it, you know, that many deer can be taken and still be a healthy herd.
Well,
and if you look at the roads, man, holy cow.
Yeah, big time.
Being a fishing guide, I'm on 85 several days a week now, and it's amazing how many deer are dead on the interstates, too.
Well, and, you know, I mean, I hate to do this because I support, you know, what DNR has done, but I also kind of scratch my head when they talk about this statistical modeling that they do to determine, you know, well, we send a survey out to only X number of hunters and not all hunters. And a lot of folks have said that that data that they get back is skewed and it's not accurate. And so maybe it is, but you can't go by 1 or 2 years. You got to go by a long range. And, you know, the problem is by the time you get that data, you're like, oh, we were wrong.
Yeah.
We don't have enough deer or whatever. And it's a tough thing. I really do feel for, you know, the folks who are trying to manage our deer herd on a statewide basis.
Oh, yeah, they've definitely got their hands full. And, you know, another way to accurately do that, I've always wondered, and I've suggested it to some of the DNR guys that I process for, is, you know, if they'll get a good relationship with processors, and I've got a good one with them now, too, and try to get, you know, how many deer we take in, that would get them a pretty good statistic on how many deer are taken, because I know a lot of guys do their own thing at home.
Right.
But you can get a really good number going to all the processors and finding out things, because I keep records of all my stuff.
Yeah.
That is a great idea.
Yeah. And then all you've got to do is say, well, X number of people process their own, and then X number of people are going to take it to a processor.
But you can get good
right.
numbers
and,
that
and
way.
I think you could get better numbers that way. Of course, the best
oh,
way
yeah.
the best way to do it would be to have a telecheck system with about 3-4 questions. What'd you kill? When'd you kill it? How many did you kill? You know, and, you know, maybe even did you process it yourself or take it in and, you know, get some of that data for every deer that's killed. I think folks would do that.
Phil, that is the best thing I've heard in forever. I've been preaching that ever since the tax system started. I said, you know, I hunt in Alabama, and I've hunted in Iowa, and it's the telecheck. It's so simple. And, I mean, so fast. And they immediately get a record of buck or doe, the day you killed it, morning, evening, how many points the buck had. All that goes right into the system right there. It's all automated. You don't have to hire a bunch of people to do it. And that would be a very accurate way because, you know, and that would it would even eliminate the paperwork of the tags, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would. Well, Chip, we got to go to our break. Folks want to come by there. They got a deer, want to come by there, maybe get it mounted. Or, hey, we even left this out. If they want to go fishing on Lake Hartwell, how can they get hold of you and get hooked up with you?
My phone number is 864-304-9011. The website for fishing is very easy, Lake Hartwell Fishing Charters. And the address to the processor and the taxidermy studio is 132 Turner Trail, Easley.
Awesome.
Yep. All right, Chip Hamilton, man who does it all. Y'all go look him up. And, Chip, thanks for being on the show. Great insight.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for having me. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We got to jump because we got to wrap up a show after our calendar of events. So we're going to be right back.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, and we're back. Great interview from Chip.
So we were talking during the break.
Yep.
And the deer tags and the phone in.
The telecheck. Yep.
DNR needs an app where you just scan your tag and there's your deer. You know, you answer three questions.
Yep.
How big was it? Doe, buck.
Great idea. Here's the problem with DNR. Appropriating money to do that. And you think, well, how much could it cost so-and-so? But listen, DNR is on a shoestring budget because they don't.
We need to start calling your legislators.
Yeah, well, the legislators are the ones who appropriate money for that. I mean, honestly, DNR's, they do a lot.
They do a lot on a limited budget.
Part of it is the deer tag program is, well, I mean, the deer tags are free, but then they sell some additional tags.
Yeah.
So, start charging $1 a tag, and, you know, then they well, my license is going up. So,
yeah.
It's a great thing, but, appropriating money for it.
Right.
In the budget. Just like everything else.
Maybe one day.
You want more money in the budget, we're going to have to tax you, because that's what it all boils down to. We don't need no more taxes.
No, we don't.
What we need is a calendar of events.
Well, you know, we've been talking about hunter education, so we're going to go over again. South Carolina hunter education class is recommended for motivated students 12 years of age and older with good reading and comprehension skills who have some firearm hunting knowledge or experience. Course materials are on a 6th grade reading level. While we do not discourage any age from attending the class, only children age 10 and older may take the final exam. Upcoming class dates for the upstate for the month of November. Sharpshooters, Saturday, November 16th, 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Clemson DNR office, Saturday, November 23rd, 8 o'clock a.m. to 5 p.m. And we'll let you know if there's any more coming
up. I think there's one going on now up the street at Cabela's.
Yeah, the one at Cabela's is today.
That's today.
But that started this morning.
Yeah, yeah, you
can't I think get that
it.
Was this morning. So can't. You're late for that one.
Yeah, can't get
I,
into
I was,
that
I was
one.
Like, I think there's another one, but that one is today.
Yeah.
Also, Lawrence County Ducks Unlimited's annual dinner and conservation banquet is Thursday, November 14th. This is at the Ridge at Lawrence at 301 Exchange Road in Lawrence, South Carolina. Doors will open at 6 o'clock p.m. Dinner will be followed by one of the country's best auctions. Open bar will be serving beer and mixed drinks. And this year's auction features limited edition exclusive shotguns, multiple trips, and some of the country's most sought-after Ducks Unlimited merchandise. We'll also have plenty of raffles and games. Tickets and sponsorships can be purchased online until the 13th. For more information on becoming a sponsor or to purchase your tickets, go to www.ducks.org/South Carolina. There's a link. Or you can contact Donald Thompson at 864 923-1617. You won't let me go to the duck banquet, will you?
Where's the Ridge at?
I'm not sure. We'll have to Google it. The Ridge is 301 Exchange Road in Lawrence. And there'll be dogs there.
And if folks have calendars, events that they would like on our calendar, what should they do?
They should contact us via email at upstateoutdoors@1063word.com.
Cue the parting shot. Well, this is not what you expect to see in a tree stand. Got this off of Wide Open Spaces. Deer hunter's morning was interrupted by his pet turkey. Every deer hunter knows the feeling of having a stalk interrupted. We've all felt the frustration that comes with a squirrel frolicking through the leaves when you're waiting for the wall hanger buck. You're waiting patiently for any sign of life. When you finally hear something kicking around, you're trying to turn your head as far around the tree as you can without showing too much of your body. I stopped doing that. I don't do that anymore.
You don't turn around? Mm. You just wait.
I have killed a deer doing that, but I don't do that anymore.
I'm not stealthy enough.
As you think
around.
The moment is finally presenting itself, but then as soon as you're committed to believing, in fact, it's a big buck coming your way, you see a squirrel.
Yep.
If it wants me to shoot it, it's going to come out in front of me where I'm shooting. The same thing happens from time to time with other animals, namely turkeys.
We've seen turkeys on camera.
But have you ever heard of one literally jumping in a tree stand and into your lap? Well, that happened to Jay Hall. He wasn't so surprised when it happened, though, because the turkey was one of his own pets. And who knew a pet turkey would be so friendly? The bird somehow walked all the way down to the stand. Apparently, he was hunting below the house.
Yeah.
Turkey walked all the way down to the stand just to get some 101 with the owner. And they're in the woods. Well, here's his story. He tells it. So it's early deer season. I came out this morning bright and early, climbed in my tree stand, and I was going to look for some deer, Hall said. The kids were asleep, wife was asleep, and turkeys were asleep. So I'm here maybe 2 hours, and turkeys start waking up, and then I see my turkeys start to meander around in the back field.
Okay.
Before long, one of the turkeys made it all the way over and just basically flies up into the tree and sits in his lap. So while it's definitely tough to watch a deer hunt in early, it's hard not to love this turkey.
Oh,
so
the turkey just wants some attention.
That's right. And
as weird as it may seem, I can't believe the neighbors hadn't shot one of them birds yet.
Of course, I'm going to kind of ruin this because there's a video of it, which, you know, anytime you're looking at something, so, oh, this happened and we got it on video.
Yeah.
This surprise thing and we got it on video.
Does it look staged? Did he call his own turkey?
Kind of makes you scratch your head and go, did this guy just do this for the hits, you know, on his YouTube?
Did he call his own turkey in?
Or, yeah, I don't know. Maybe he does it every time he hunts. He said, I ain't seeing nothing in the woods anyway. I'm going to do that. But if you want to see the video, you can judge for yourself. Go to our Facebook page at Upstate Outdoors /WRD or anyway, something like that.
Yeah.
Go to our Facebook page. Dadgum, if you ain't been there yet, you need to.
You need to go there.
Find it. Okay. I can't tell you everything.
Why wheels always got to fall off at the last minutes of our show, PG?
That's the way it happens. So now is the time when we thank our guests on the show, Lieutenant Dan. Danetta Dawson from DNR with the education and outreach. Of course, and our buddy Captain Chip, I do everything outdoors, Hamilton.
Mr. Outdoors himself.
Mr. Outdoors. And great show. Hey, y'all get outside. Cooler weather is back. Can't tell you how long it's going to be here because, you know.
Get it while you can.
Whatever. Get it while you can. And in the meantime, be safe outside.
And have a wonderful weekend.
We love you. God bless.
Thank you for listening.
And John and Chuck are next. So Upstate Outdoors signing off. We'll see you next week.
106.3 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.